so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
Welcome back to the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
3 o'clock hour is going to be spicy. Trust me when I tell you that. Later in the hour, I'm going to want some of your participation to hit the phones at 844-5600. We're going to talk some college basketball, and we're going to talk a little bit of some other things. Coach B.
Good afternoon, George.
Ron Bargatze, ladies and gentlemen. Coach B, we're going to educate Jack Gentry a little bit because he's going to join us during this hour, but he doesn't know this stuff. He cannot go back to a couple of things you and I know about. In the mid-80s, do you remember when the NCAA went storming into Lexington, Kentucky like some sort of a blitzkrieg? They thought they had Kentucky absolutely caught red-handed, and Big Blue Nation clammed up. You remember that?
I do. Well,
and 5 years later, the NCAA got their revenge when the Emory Air Freight package opened up. And then the NCAA went storming back in there and dropped the hammer on Kentucky that ultimately got C.M. Newton hired as the athletic director.
Exactly, yeah.
One of the all-time great quotes that came out of that came from one of the more interesting characters that the NCAA had to deal with, and it's a quote I have used forever. The late Jerry Tarkanian, no stranger to NCAA infractions committees, said, and I quote, "The NCAA is so mad at Kentucky, they're going to give Cleveland State another year of probation." This is one of the great quotes in history. Jack, you don't remember any of that, do you?
No, that was before my time.
Okay, sorry. Well, we're older. So, you say, George, where are you going with this? Anything you hear me say on this discussion from here on in is biased. I don't deny that. Kevin Stallings and I have been good friends now for about 15, 16 years. I'm the one media person that off the record has gotten to talk to Kevin in the last few days about this whole show cause thing. Coach B, one thing that he has told me is he wants to own up to the things they did wrong. And I admire him for saying that.
You know, Kevin, in my opinion, and I've known him for a long time, even before old George did.
Tell people how. It's an interesting story.
Well, he grew up in, I think, Collinsville, Illinois, and he played for a guy named Virgil Fletcher, one of the great high school coaches around. And I didn't even remember what the context was, but I think it was right after his press conference, maybe during it, he said, "Yeah, I see one guy there that sent me my first questionnaire as a high school prospect when I was a sophomore in high school." And I always followed Virgil Fletcher's teams and knew he had good players. And Kevin looked like he was going to be a good one, and was. But so Purdue and Big Ten country was able to get him, and Vanderbilt was not able to get him.
The NCAA has documented where they think they have Kevin in the Pittsburgh program. But it is my opinion way stronger than a week ago when I really didn't know anything. And I got caught 5 minutes before we were going on the air with a piece of news I had no idea was coming. Now I got a little background. The show cause part of this is absurd. This is the vindictive side of the NCAA. Those are not show cause penalties.
Well, show cause is a term that kind of came about. I first learned that term when Bruce Pearl was given the show cause, kind of a new term, I guess, the NCAA came up with. And if you look at Bruce Pearl's, his offenses mainly were the barbecue at his home, et cetera, et cetera.
With the kid Kraft, who ended up at Ohio State.
Right, the guard from Ohio State. And I don't think that that would have ever happened had he not, quote, lied to the NCAA, according to their interpretation of that. But everyone knows that Bruce is always pushing the envelope, and he recruits and does his job day to day, kind of like the guy you see on the court, on the sideline. I mean, you know, can you imagine how much he's paid in dry cleaning bills and how sweaty his suit is after a game?
Oh, gosh. The average fan, whether they have any relationship with Kevin Stallings or not, and again, I do, and I'm biased, so understand anything I say here has some fairly obvious bias. But there are fans out there sitting there going, wait a minute. You've got FBI wiretap stuff that looks really bad for Sean Miller and Will Wade, both essentially talking about paying players. And yet the NCAA right now is putting more attention on Kevin Stallings and whatever violations he committed at Pittsburgh. And there are people out there going, why?
Well, he's a retired coach, and he's an easy target. And you and I know Kevin to be a very straightforward guy. He tells it like it is. I don't know of anything he's ever done in terms of what I'd call cheating and recruiting, which is always the biggest focus, I think, of the NCAA and their investigations. But to give him 3 years show cause over the situation where one of his coaches was not allowed to coach on the floor, evidently was involved in some drills, and therefore I guess they thought that they tried to get rid of some evidence in terms of the videos of the practices. I don't know how coaches use those videos that much anyway, because generally they're sitting there to see them. I just think it's a lot of do about nothing. But yet, he was an easy target, a retired coach who's not even coaching now, and yet, you know. And then, of course, you go to in this past week, the coach at Penn gets a 15-year show cause because of some money exchanges, and that appears to be a little more offensive, if you will.
Oh, that one's wild. But let's go back for a second to Kevin's thing. When we went on the air last Thursday, I had sketchy information at best. I think anybody in this room that was here will tell you I was shocked, really stunned, and didn't have enough information to really do much. And one of the things I read was that he was uncooperative with the NCAA. Well, I now know for a fact that Kevin, in a multi-hour conversation, met with the NCAA. And, you know, I don't know. I'm starting to wonder a little bit. The NCAA right now is in a bad place. They've got a Will Wade, they got a Sean Miller, who 2 years later are still coaching. Sean Miller, in particular, at the end of last season, all but said, I know I'm about to be gone, so thanks for supporting me. Is Kevin Stallings Cleveland State?
I don't think there's any question about it. Yes.
So mad at Kentucky that we gave Cleveland State another year of probation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any way you can compare what Will Wade and Sean Miller did to what Kevin did, which was a pretty benign violation in terms of their rule book. So, you know, and I never have understood why they have those kind of restrictions on guys who are in the program every day. It's, and then, of course, then
you're talking about that you can only use, you may have six on your staff, but only three can be involved in practice.
Yeah, the head coach and three, I guess.
What is the rationale behind that?
I don't know. I think just to keep people from cost savings measures, I guess, would be the start of that, and then you morph into the things they can't do. But it would appear to me that any coaches you have on the staff, and I'm one to feel like that you ought to have some limitation on the number of coaches you have on your staff, and that probably that number, including your video coordinator, might be seven or so, six or seven. A very successful friend of mine who coaches in the NCAA said 13 assistant coaches or whatever the number is. How do you manage that many people? And I don't know either, but there's a lot of people who are pretty specialized in their craft.
And that's what I was going to ask you. With Stackhouse's extremely large staff, and you can only have, you said, the head coach and three others practice, what roles do these other coaches even have? I know one's out on the road recruiting most of the time, but that still leaves seven or eight guys unaccounted for. So I'm not really sure where they fit into the whole scheme here.
Well, they got some pretty interesting titles. One coach may be doing responsible for alumni basketball players and keeping those lines of communication over. And I'll say this, I know that they did a great job this year at Vandy of honoring the three SEC championship teams and did a great job and welcoming everyone back. And most of the ex-players that I've known, and I've known almost every one of them since the early 60s, and rarely did you find anyone who felt like Vandy Athletic Department or the coaching staff or whomever did a great job of keeping those lines open. There have been several coaches along the way. Eddie Fogler did a phenomenal job of the Rebounders Club. Kevin Stallings kept that going.
CM was the master.
CM did a really nice. He kind of came in there when he did and really made everyone who played there, coached there, feel really good. So, and if you look at all the big programs, you know, like if you look over at Tim Corbin, and he's got a locker room for ex-players, which is the ultimate commitment to the guys who made the program what it is today, that's about as good as it gets. But anything at all where you reach out and make the former players feel like they're were important, they were important building blocks to where they are today, they take pride in that. Letterman's activities, those are great things, and I think those people really deserve that kind of attention.
And another thing, do you think that this being Stackhouse's first year with a head coaching gig in college, do you think he possibly overcompensated for maybe I guess he may have overestimated the responsibilities that goes into an entire coaching staff by hiring all of these different coaches? Do you think this is just a one-year thing where he has 12 guys on the bench?
I don't know. The things I've heard and read about lately where you have a lot of cutbacks and let's cut down on spending and in some cases maybe even a former athletic director was told somewhere along the way to cut down his spending, and then you have a staff that size and they're not working for free, seems like a contradiction.
Let's do this. We will go to the break on this. We'll go ahead and open the phone lines. We're going to talk college basketball during this 3 o'clock hour. 844-5600 is the number. If you want to get in now, go ahead. The lines are open on purpose, so you'll get in pretty quickly. We also are just incredibly social media savvy. As many of you know, I've specialized in that throughout the years. How does somebody reach us that way?
There are two avenues you can contact the show, one being Twitter. You can follow the show at The Plaster Show. That is the show's handle, at The Plaster Show. You're going to tweet any questions you may have for us. We can get to those. Also, no Twitter, that's fine. We have Facebook. You go to Nashville Sports Radio's Facebook page. At the top of the screen, you're going to see a link to the live stream. You're going to see myself along with George and Coach B. And you can ask anything through the comments over there, and we can also get to those that way.
Okay, still got a couple of phone lines open. Hit them to talk college basketball. We're back after this.
Samuel T. Bryant Distillery is a true small-batched craft distillery. Premium ingredients start to finish on a family farm in Jackson, Tennessee. Online at SamuelTBryant.com. SamuelTBryant.com.
Madame Tussauds is Nashville's most interactive, famous, fun experience and the only all-music-themed wax attraction in the world. Through the end of February, Tennessee residents save $14 with the 10 for Tennessee rate. Where else but Madame Tussauds can you sing along with Patsy Cline, strike a pose with Justin Timberlake, rock out with Elvis, or take a selfie with Carrie Underwood. You will laugh, sing, dance, and make memories as you step into iconic musical moments in rock, pop, blues, jazz, and country. To get your $10 for Tennessee rate, just present your ID to the friendly admission staff at Madame Tussauds, just inside Opry Mills. Madame Tussauds, Nashville, unforgettable, famous fun.
Samuel T. Bryant makes premium spirits in small batches, start to finish. Jackson, Tennessee's premier craft distillery, Samuel T. Bryant. Online at SamuelTBryant.com. SamuelTBryant.com.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kaloudis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kaloudis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kaloudis.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
To former Tennessee Titans head coach Jeff Fisher.
Bud wouldn't pay to have a divider put up in the trailer to where we could divide up offense and defense. So we would send the offense next door. Oh, by the way, they shared a building with a pediatrician and a daycare. So
live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
.322 is we welcome all of you back to a college basketball insider hour that we've been doing now for about a month and a half. Coach Ron Bargatze is with us in studio. Let's start on the phone, then we'll do a little bit of everything. Stan the Man, you are up first on WNSR.
Hello, everyone.
Howdy.
Hey, Coach Bargatze.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you all two quick questions, and I'll hurry up and get off. But between TV timeouts and timeouts that are awarded per team, my first question is, that too many timeouts? And I know the TV timeouts, they do it for commercials, but is that too many timeouts? And then the second question is the block charge call still as hard to call now as it was back when you coached? Thank you.
Yeah, I think block charge has always been one of the toughest the officials have, because there's movement involved and all of a sudden there's contact, and establishing whether the guy was there in time to take the contact or whether he was outside the little circle, it's pretty tough, because I've seen a lot of missed calls where They took the charge with 1 foot in the restricted zone and still got the charge. I've seen even in the last couple nights on TV games some really questionable block charge calls. I agree with you on the timeouts. Are pretty interesting. A coach should never run out of timeouts. You know, it's the first dead ball after 16, 12, 8, and 4. So, you know, you got four in each half. And you have one that if you don't use it in the first half, it goes away. And that's why you see a lot of last 30-second timeouts by coaches.
Okay, Jack, more education here. You ready?
Ready.
When you coached, what were the TV timeouts?
They were none.
Okay, so in theory, the ball tips up to start the game, and if nobody took a timeout, you'd play 20 straight minutes?
Well, there are a lot of dead balls, but they had the five timeouts for each team. You didn't have that last one, you know, that one at the end of the half that goes away.
Okay, let me ask it this way. If neither coach took a timeout in the first half, you would play 20 minutes straight?
Well, I think there was a timeout or two that was designated when you had TV games. But now it's, you know, you could play a game with nobody in the stands, not on any media outlet, and still get those timeouts.
That's really different because I remember, I think Blake Griffin in Oklahoma was the first player where they managed. He would play, you know, 34 minutes a game. And they would rest him. They would pull him out maybe 30 minutes or 30 seconds before a TV timeout was scheduled. And coaches have kind of just really adapted to having to sit players and get them extra rest without losing any game time without those guys. So it's definitely a much different game today. But I have Jimmy on Twitter who wants to know about Dan Cage's role in this whole Pittsburgh situation. He was the director of basketball operations. And Jimmy wants to know why he was given the same three-year show cause penalty that Stallings also received.
I think in his case, and I'm not going to swear to this because I have not asked this question, I don't think he met with the NCAA. Dan now and his wife, I believe I'm right about this, own a restaurant up in Indy. And I'm told it's a really good restaurant. Nice free plug there.
Hey, yeah. Get a name on that, George, so we can drop in.
Yeah.
While we're at the Combine.
I don't think we're going. Jeff in Murfreesboro, you're next on WNSR.
What's going on, George?
Good.
Coach B, I just wanted to ask you a question about, I think they play this weekend, Saturday, I think, Austin Peay and Murray State. Looks like it's going to be for the OVC, the regular season championship. And I wanted to ask you how you think Coach Figure's doing after Coach Luce retired. And also with LSU losing last night against Florida, if Kentucky wins Saturday against Auburn, they'll clinch the SEC championship. And do you think the SEC is down this year? Because the reason why I say that is there's only really three teams, and probably be two at the end of the season, that have less than 10 losses. Everybody else has, like LSU has 9 now, and everybody else in the SEC has 10 or more. So I'll just hang up and listen and enjoy the show, guys, and have a good rest of the week. See you.
Jeff, thank you. Let's start with the OVC thing because right now it's a three-way tie. Belmont, Austin Peay, Murray, and if Casey Alexander is right, and I think he is, only one of these teams is getting in.
Yeah, I don't think it's a year where you have a Murray and Belmont, either of whom would get in if someone else got the automatic bid. But if Belmont wins out, that's the big key. If Belmont can win out, they can beat Tennessee Tech tonight and TSU.
At TSU,
which is really a trap game. If Belmont were to win out and Austin Peay were to win the game at Murray, then Austin Peay would get the number one seed. If Belmont wins out and Murray State beats Austin Peay on Saturday, which they probably would be favored to do, then Belmont gets the number one seed. And that's big in that league because of those three big ones up there. Two of them are going to have to play each other in the Friday night game of the OVC tournament, Eastern Kentucky has had a good year. They're probably going to be fourth, them or Moorhead, and that's going to be on paper, a much easier task, and that's why the number one seed was such a treasured thing to get. So, yes, that's it.
Okay, couple of others on that front. Whoever ends up in the NCAA, do the other two get to the NIT?
Well, if you win the regular season, you get an automatic.
That's automatic.
Bid. Yeah. So, yes, I think that all three teams will play in postseason.
But, hold on. You kind of dodged it a little bit. You were a little shifty.
I said postseason.
No, I'm asking, will the other two end up in the NIT?
I think one of them will and one of them might not.
Okay.
Belmont looks to be dangerous. They obviously started the year a little slow with a new coach, a new system. They lost Windler and others. They've won 8 in a row. They have the best road record in the OVC. I think they're 10-5 on the road. I think that I want to hear what you have to say. You've watched more Belmont than I have this year. Do you think that they could realistically win this conference tournament? It does appear to be similar to the SEC. There's three teams above everyone else, and it looks like it could come down to obviously Belmont, Austin-Peay, and Murray.
Yeah, I think Belmont's capable. They were the preseason picks to win the league. The Southern Illinois-Edwardsville loss early near the first game in the conference this year, losing at home to them, which is they're third from the bottom in the league, and that was a devastating win. We wouldn't be talking about a lot of this right now in this manner if that hadn't happened. But, yes, they're very capable, but so are Austin-Peay and Murray.
Okay, let's ask it this way. If you are, let's make up one, Arizona State, and you're going to play one of those three teams in the opening round of the NCAA tournament, which of those three would you least want to play?
A lot depends on Nick Musinski, and if he plays up to his ability. Sometimes Nick can go off and hide on you, but he is a legitimate low post scorer, and Terry Taylor can also do that. Murray does not have the luxury of having that either. A low post scorer as good as either of those two guys. So it all depends on matchups. It's hard to say. I think Taylor is the best player in the league, and he's a lefty, and he's strong. He rebounds well. He scores inside and outside, and he's an excellent player. Musinski, when he's playing just decently, makes Belmont a really good team with a little bit different type of matchup situations than the other two.
Okay, let's load up then on his SEC question. How many are getting in?
I'm going to say at the end of the day it's going to be four. I've got to believe that Florida still might get in based on expectations, preseason expectations, and so on. I think they've underperformed this year, no question about that. But I think that LSU, Auburn, and Kentucky are definitely getting in, and then I would pick Florida as the next best choice.
Yeah, and Joe Lunardi, who's typically pretty spot on in all this bracketology, would agree with you. He is four in right now, Florida being a 9 seed. But he does have three SEC teams on the bubble, and I want to know from you which team you think has the best chance of cracking the field. Mississippi State's in his first four out, and then in the next four out, Alabama and South Carolina both lie there.
Well, I think Mississippi State would definitely be my fourth-place team in there. I'm fifth place behind Florida. South Carolina has overachieved in a lot of ways, and I think Frank Martin has done a fantastic job coaching them. So I would pick them next, and I'd pick Alabama. And I think they're going to be really good because Coach Oates has got a good background, and I think he's going to get them there. But right now I think they're number six at best.
Okay, let's try this a different way. We got Kentucky, LSU, Auburn that are going to get in. We don't know about any of the others. I'll be honest, I thought you were going to say Mississippi State is the fourth. On some nights, they look like the fourth. On some nights, nobody looks like the fourth. It's a crazy league.
I agree with you. I really like Mississippi State's team a little better than Florida. But I think that just reputation and the aura that they command, I'd say they're fifth.
Okay, here's the question. So we know they're three, Kentucky, LSU, Auburn.
Yep.
Do any of those get to the second week?
Well, again, it's about matchups. You never know how that's going to happen. You can get a – if you've got a matchup of 12 versus 5, there's a lot of 12s out there that are really good. There's some 13s and 14s now because there's more parity in college basketball. I don't think they're down so much. Is that they just are there's so much parity that no one can really distinguish themselves. And you look at Duke. I mean, they've had two tough losses in the last couple of weeks, and they don't look like the invincible Duke we've come to know. And yet they're still looking like maybe a one seed, two at worst.
Yeah, you're definitely right. And in the SEC, with that question of the teams that could possibly make it to the second weekend, there's glaring weaknesses in all of those teams. You know, Kentucky's streaky from outside. They can't shoot well at home, which is strange. LSU has trouble against teams with size. There's just not really a solid all-around team in the SEC like there was last year with Auburn. Now Auburn did lose some three-point shooting. They're pretty solid inside. They picked up Okoro. Great defensive player, can make things happen on the offensive end. But none of these teams are a shoe-in for the Sweet 16. You're definitely right.
To me, Auburn's the wild card because Auburn can turn up, let's just say for a week and a half, Auburn hits a bunch of threes. That's what got them there a year ago. I think they're the one I'm not so sure about.
Well, I think Wiley gives them enough inside presence that there are more open threes coming because of his inside presence. I also think that LSU is not going to last long because they don't guard very well. They're just not a very good defensive team. And to see a Vandy team that has trouble getting to 60 points, put 90-something on them is pretty amazing how poorly they're capable of playing on the defensive end.
Yeah, definitely. Vandy dropped 99 on them. Anytime that happens to an opposing team, it's something – there's trouble lies ahead here. What's going to be interesting down the line, I believe there's three SEC games remaining for most of these teams. The double bye is something that teams are going to have to start watching for because there's three teams, LSU, Florida, and Mississippi – or excuse me, there's four teams, LSU, Florida, Mississippi State, and South Carolina, all within a game of each other. Two of those teams will be getting the double bye in the SEC tournament. So that could be big in terms of whether Mississippi State can squeeze in, whether Florida makes it in, same with South Carolina. So I think that's something that'll definitely be important coming down the stretch.
Well, we're in the adrenaline part of the year, and sometimes a team who can get hot and play that extra game or even two games gets some momentum, and I think that it maybe means a plus 5 or 6 points for them in some cases.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the break at 3:36. We'll invite a second batch of your phone calls if you want. 844-5600 is the number. Again, 844-5600. If you will call now with wherever you want to go on the college basketball front, we'll get to you pretty quickly. We also dazzle you with our social media.
We sure do.
Yeah, sure we do.
Especially on Twitter, where we are at the Plaster Show.
You do. I don't quite.
We're at the Plaster Show on Twitter. So tweet at us, follow us. Do everything, whatever you can to interact with us on Twitter. We'll be sure to get back to you. Same with Facebook. You go to Nashville Sports Radio's Facebook page. You'll see the live stream at the top of the screen. You get in there, get involved with us. We're happy to talk with y'all.
Okay, on that, we'll go to the break. You hit the phones. More college basketball talk when we return.
Southern Hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
Madame Tussauds is Nashville's most interactive, famous fun experience and the only all-music-themed wax attraction in the world. Through the end of February, Tennessee residents save $14 with the 10 for Tennessee rate. Where else but Madame Tussauds can you sing along with Patsy Cline, strike a pose with Justin Timberlake, rock out with Elvis, or take a selfie with Carrie Underwood? You will laugh, sing, dance, and make memories as you step into iconic musical moments in rock, pop, blues, jazz, and country. To get your $10 for Tennessee rate, just present your ID to the friendly admission staff at Madame Tussauds, just inside Opry Mills. Madame Tussauds, Nashville, unforgettable, famous fun.
There will never be another Luther Vandross, and no other voice comes closer than Reuben Studdard.
Here and now, I promise to love.
Reuben sings Luther. March 8th, Skermerhorn Symphony Center. Reuben Studdard in a night of timeless hits. Perform the way Luther performed them in concert. Tickets on sale now at NashvilleSymphony.org.
And now American Veterans United Heating and Air is reminding Americans to show support to the brave and honorable men and women who serve our U.S. military. Their tireless efforts should never go unnoticed. This message is courtesy of veteran-owned and operated AVU Heating and Air, a third-generation heating and cooling company. When it comes to the very best in residential heating and cooling, trust the name we trust, AVU Heating and Air, giving 15% off to all veterans. Call 931-842-5392. That's 931-842-5392. Mention this ad for a discount. AVU Heating and Air.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
Now exclusively at the Home Depot. Give your lawn a 1-2 punch with a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action and save 50% on a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Ultra Feed. Pick up both bags. Apply Triple Action now to knock out tough weeds and Ultra Feed 8 weeks later to green and feed all season. Two bags, one stronger, greener lawn. With a 1-2 punch of Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action and 50% on a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Ultra Feed. Now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. While supplies last, selection varies by store.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. Sunny with a high near 45. Tonight, a chance of rain and snow between midnight and 5 a.m. Increasing clouds with a low around 33. And tomorrow, a chance of snow before 8 a.m. Partly sunny with a high near 46. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
As we talk a little college basketball, College Basketball Insider Hour, Coach Ron Bargatze alongside Jack Gentry as well. So, San Diego State finally got beat, and they got beat at home by UNLV. And there are a bunch of people going, see, I told you so, they're not that good. Are they that good? What do you really think about them?
Well, it's sometimes hard to play comparisons, but all the teams in the West outside of Gonzaga have had a hard time coming in across the Mississippi River and putting a run on. So, you know, the California schools have always really had a hard time. I'm saying that they would I think they're probably a legitimate two seed in the tournament.
But right now they'd be a one.
Yeah.
I don't think, Jack, the loss, Lenardi has not knocked them out of the one, has
he? No, they're the third one seed as of now. And they have the fifth net, they're fifth in net, which is a huge statistic that they use to base most of the seeding off of. So it looks like, you know, if they're a one seed, it'll probably be towards the back end just because they can't really build their resume any more than they already have, while these other teams can throughout the conference tournament playing stiffer competition.
Go ahead.
Speaking of that and the importance of conference tournaments, that is a huge deal because it can catapult a team from being barely getting in to becoming a much higher seed.
Mountain West, by the way, I think has done a smart thing. For a while, they were getting caught in their own city in Vegas with other tournaments that were going on in Vegas, and they were getting lost in the shuffle. So they have moved their conference tournament to the OVC week.
Yeah,
next week.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting dynamic how that affects, because those teams, you get some teams in the tournament before the teams we all have heard of get to play a game.
Anybody see Maryland pull one out of the fire last night?
I did.
Down 16 at half.
Wow. Well, think about this. They have gone on the road. Now they've won at Minnesota. They had won at Indiana. They had won at Michigan State. And I'm forgetting the third one. Indiana, Michigan State. Oh, gosh, this is killing me. I don't have it in front of me.
And Minnesota?
I'll pull it up. No, there's a fourth. There's a fourth big one.
Ohio State, Illinois,
they
Iowa,
did not beat. They beat Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
They did not beat Ohio State, but they've won at Illinois, at Michigan State, at Indiana, now at Minnesota. There's something about them that's pretty good.
And, you know, Belmont was one bad pass away from beating them last year in the second round / first round of the tournament. Mark Turgeon is one reason that they're really good. The guy's a really good coach.
They're just one I'm kind of saying to myself, keep your eyes on.
Last year, most of their offense ran through their big man, Bruno Fernando. This year, it's different. They have Anthony Cowan doing most of the heavy lifting on offense for them out of the guard position. He seems to be their go-to guy whenever they need a bucket, and he typically follows through.
Okay, you want one more goofy thing out of me?
Sure.
So here's North Carolina. Guys, this has got to be killing them. They have no idea how to handle losing. And they're, 11-17 after they beat NC State a couple of nights? 11-17. And so, you know, you've got Roy Williams looking just emotionally distraught after every one of these losses. What are the chances that they just come out of nowhere and win the ACC tournament?
Well, you know, their Duke game when they had the big lead and blew it. And you know what? I'm sorry I said that. I really hate to use the word blowing a lead.
Yeah, but they did.
Well, but with three-point baskets nowadays and the shot clock, you know, you don't have to blow a lead to lose after having a big lead.
Make your free throws.
Well, that always helps.
They're a bad free throw shooting team this year, which has cost them some games down the stretch.
And it hadn't helped Vandy.
No.
This is one of their worst free throw shooting. They have Georgia beat, and they make some strategic blunders, and they don't hit free throws.
Well, Saban Lead made 10 for 10, I think, going into those last two he missed.
Which was a shame because he'd been terrific.
Unbelievable. 34 points, a career high. And he's never been a great free throw shooter, but if he makes one of those and – you have two fouls to waste and don't know that on the missed free throw.
So let's go back where I was going. Is Carolina good enough to kind of rise out of the ashes and win the ACC tournament and kill somebody else that's on the bubble.
Well, with Wake Forest beating Duke and with North Carolina having the big lead against Duke and losing it, and Virginia not being as quite as good as they have been, I'd say yes, they could. They could come out of that tournament if they get on a roll.
And that's the same situation with most conferences. You know, it's watered down talent-wise this year, so the discrepancy between, you know, the best team in the league and, say, 7th or 8th, like Carolina, I think they're closer to the bottom.
You know,
the gap isn't as large as it has been.
Let's talk about this for a second. You said because it's easy for media people to say that the talent is watered down, but you got the same talent you always had, except you have the superstars out of it, which brings everyone closer together. But there's a lot of talent out there, particularly now. Look at the percentage of shots that people take that are 3-point attempts as opposed to the twos. I saw a game the other night where they had four 2-point attempts for the game, and the rest were they either had dunks or follow-up baskets or 3-point attempts, mid-range jumpers, inside the 3-point line jumpers, on all but four shots in the game.
13 to 18 feet's gone away.
Gone away, and that's where a Yanni Wetzel, who's pretty good, little 10- and 12-foot shooter, gives San Diego State a little bit of an edge.
I keep watching him.
I'm thinking, boy, he would look good in black and gold.
He would look good. You know, I don't pretend to know all of it. What I keep hearing is he couldn't get into law school.
Well, there's certainly not any...
couldn't get into law school here.
You know, I don't hate to use this word, but there's no advantage. There's no pope. There's no leader who can affect those kinds of things. I remember when Jeff Fosnes of the F Troop was here and was trying to get in med school, and, you know, he finally did. But he and Bob Chess, I think, were the only two Vandy basketball players over a long period of time who got in that couldn't. And that's, I think they have 80 out of 8,000 applicants to get in.
Wow.
So competition's tough.
Here's one other trend. You ready? You don't look like you're ready.
Oh,
okay.
Are you ready?
Oh, I'm very ready. Or as the music says, is you ready? 2 weeks ago, a lot of people had basically declared dead and buried Shaka Smart at Texas. Hadn't gotten anything done. You look at their team, you don't see great things. You know, he's a guy that everybody has rumored, okay, John Beilein will end up at Texas. Have you noticed they've won 3 in a row? And Monday night, they ripped a really good West Virginia team.
Yeah, and you know, you've seen West Virginia the last few years, they've kind of faded a little bit late in the year. Why do you think that's the case?
It's not overload of academic work.
John Thornton would take issue with that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, let's be honest. You know, Huggins has not always seemed to be the guy demanding that his kids go to class.
I don't know. I don't know the right or wrong answer to that.
Okay. Well, look it up. So, I don't know. When I watch West Virginia, I see great athleticism, a little bit like his old Cincinnati teams. Sometimes they can't throw it in the ocean.
Yeah, and here's the deal. Think about this a little bit, too. I've seen teams this year that disintegrate late in the game because they're taking a lot of three-pointers, and they've got shooters who are not good three-point shooters taking them. And I really think that it's not like the Ray Mears when Johnny Darden was not allowed to shoot any shot, to today's world where everybody thinks they're a three-point shooter and they're not.
And they all seem to have the green light.
You're right. And I think that's part of what the biggest challenge a coach has now, is that because the threes become so important. And in the NBA, which every player in the country thinks they're going to be in one day, you got to shoot the threes. That's the game. Look at what Houston's doing now with a small lineup. Pretty impressive.
Houston, as in the Rockets.
As the Rockets, yeah.
Capella, out of here. Headed to Atlanta. Were you given the free rein to shoot the three?
Of course.
Oh, God.
That was about all I could do.
On that sobering note, we'll go to the break and wrap up the 3 o'clock hour when we come back.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
What do you look for in a wine and spirits store? Selection and pricing? Check. Tasting opportunities? Check. Knowledge and helpfulness of the employees? Check, check, and check. Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood checks all of the boxes and more. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits will make you feel welcomed and appreciated when you walk through the doors. They have a passion for personal service to help you make the best selection for your specific taste and budget, and they can assist you with suggestions for all occasions. Hosting a party? Looking for gift ideas? Maybe you're just picking up a bottle of wine for dinner. Brinkman's Wine and Spirits is there for all your needs. From whiskey to vodka, champagne to Cabernet, they have it all. And don't forget, as the originator of local bourbon tastings, there's always opportunities to discover new spirits and wines at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. Located at 7110 Town Center Way, just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Good, better, Brinkman's.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Hey, this is George Plaster. I don't pretend to know everything about printing, but my buddy and former BGA classmate James Warren does, and he should. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City. Let's talk a little bit about mailing, because that's important.
It is, George. So a lot of people use mailing to get in front of customers. Direct mail, we've got at the end of the year, there's always the big mailers that go out for insurance companies and that sort of things. But we see that mail helps people get in front of their audience. You'd be surprised at how many people actually open an envelope or look at a postcard when it comes to their house. And we can do it cheaper than you can mail it.
And you can do it well. Give people the particulars, phone number, website.
We're at 615-832-9511. Our website is SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. You can reach us at print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And as always, when you go in there, you tell them Plaz sent you.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
Last year, if you recall, the Nashville Predators, you know, got off to the 14-5 start at home. You're winning 75% almost of your contests at home. The rest of the way, 11-9-2, 12-11-2 if you count the 1-2 record in the playoffs.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
You're listening to the George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Okay, we wrap up the College Basketball Insider segment with Coach Ron Bargatze and Jack Gentry in studio with this question. Coach B, who's the most fun team that you love to watch in college right now?
Well, I like for Jack to answer that one, and let me see if while I'm thinking about the ones I enjoy watching most.
This is a tough question because there's not really a team that goes, you know, hog wild and scoring the ball this year. Doesn't seem. I mean, Kansas is a simple choice. They have a good mix of inside outside. I like Kentucky lately. Kentucky's been a fun team to watch lately. They have great guard play with Hagans and Quickly. Nick Richards is solid inside. Duke has a solid core as well. I don't know. I would probably say right now Kentucky.
It's Arizona State. You ever watch them?
I've only watched them one time this year.
What'd you think?
Well, I liked them because
they're fun.
Let it hang out. That's right.
Oh, there's a lot of Southwest Louisiana of the old days. Kind of. So did anybody pop into your mind?
Well, you know,
it needed to pop quickly with the music.
Okay, with the music coming, I'll come back with my answer on that one after thinking about it more.
Okay. We're done. So Coach B's got at least a week to think about it. Johnny Ballpark Franks and Steve Wrigley are in the on-deck circle. Stick around on WNSR.